Okay, so I call this meeting to order. Let's start out with the roll call. Can you call roll, please?
Yes. Chairman Crosby?
Here.
Member Fishman?
Here.
Member Shoemaker?
Here.
Member Yanaki?
Here.
Member Martin? Member McColl?
Here.
And Member Davis?
Here.
Okay, so looks as though we have first up are the minutes of November 7th that we need to approve. Is that correct? Okay, so did anyone have a chance to look at the meeting minutes from way back on November 7th?
Yes.
Yeah, everything looked good?
Yeah, I'll move to approve them.
Move to approve. Okay.
Second.
And a voice vote. All agree? Say aye or nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Good. Thank you.
Okay.
Abstaining, I think, because I wasn't at that meeting. I'm is that right? Okay, yeah. Just for the minutes.
All right, so that leaves us next up is the application 25-0009, application to make improvements to Constitution Park, including reconfiguring the playground, sand volleyball courts, ice rink, and ball field, and adding a picnic shelter with two single restrooms and a sitting plaza. Okay, so I guess to kind of explain the process from now that we have the applications of November 7th, we had the pre-filing from the park district. So now that you've filed the proper paperwork, our role here is to give you the opportunity to present your project. We then have an opportunity for the public to let us know what they think of the project. We will probably have some questions for you and we'll discuss, and then hopefully we can then make a recommendation to the trustees. It's just a recommendation. So it's, again, it's for them to then pick up the ball where we left off and consider it again. Mm-hmm. Sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to swear in anyone that's going to address the board, whether it's the applicant or anyone in the public that's planned on speaking? You'll need to be sworn in.
Yes. So can you raise your right hand for me? To those who will testify at the public hearing, you're reminded that the River Forest Village Code makes it unlawful for any person to knowingly make a false statement of material fact to the village in connection with any application, report, affidavit, oath, certification, or attestation. Violations are punishable as a petty offense with a fine. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that you will give true testimony relative to the matter before this development review board?
I do.
Thank you.
Okay, so you can go ahead and present your project.
Great, thank you. Good evening, and thank you for your time. I'm Mike Sletten. I'm an executive director of the River Forest Park District. With me tonight is Dennis Healy. He is our one of our commissioners and the treasurer of the Park District. So he'll be here also to answer any questions after I go through the presentation. We're here tonight to discuss the redevelopment of Constitution Park. The Park District, this has been going on for 24 months now. When the concept and the discussion began. We've gone through numerous meetings starting in July of 2023, and then as recently as last August 2024. So the first meeting in 2023, public meeting, no comments on the proposed plan. Most of the discussion really was just focused on the memorial trees that were in the park, how they're going to be relocated, will they be replaced. We went through that. We did have two follow-up meetings in August of 2023 and September 2023. That focused on the playground. There was a push to make it all-inclusive, an ADA 100% all-inclusive playground, and we accomplished that. The board ultimately in September of that year approved a design, and that will be the design you saw last time we presented at the DRB, and it's the same design tonight. We also had a public meeting last August, 2024. Nobody attended that meeting. And then we've also obviously been to the DRB once, and we've presented in front of the village board once. So we've got six meetings so far under our belt on this project. Just so you know, the project, this is one of our bigger projects. The estimated costs or we're budgeting is $1.6 million for this project. Constitution Park is bordered by Franklin, Greenfield, and Ashland. To the south is Willard School. Park District and Willard School do share the spaces between D90 space and Park District space for programming on both sides. The amenities in the park. So there's a the site plan currently. The amenities in the park right now, we do have a playground, a 2 to 5 year old and a 5 to 12 year old playground on site. We do have a sand volleyball court that we convert to ice rink in the wintertime, and it is lit. We do have a, it's a 5-on-5. I think it's a 5-on-5 soccer field. So it's a smaller soccer field up there that rotates out. It usually gets used for three out of every four seasons. And one season would be the fall or spring. So that's twice a year would be two seasons. And then we also have the ball field, which is partially on park property, partially on D90. If you want to get an idea with the property line, it's about that white line, which is the third base line. So you can see the third base end is all on park property. The other item we do have, we also have a cubicle up there for a porta potty that's along the D90 parking lot near the ball field. So here's the master plan that we're proposing and presenting. It includes the reconstruction of the playground. As I talked before, we are moving it though from the corner of Franklin and Greenfield up to the corner of Ashland and Greenfield. It, like I said, it's a 100% ADA accessible playground geared for ages 2 to 12. So all age groups will be on the same playground versus what it is right now, which is divided. We are going to keep the sand volleyball. It's going to be moved slightly, reoriented to 90 degrees. It's about the same size as what it is now. And the lights will be relocating one light and adding a new one just because the lights out there, the one pole isn't very good. There is still going to be a small soccer field out in the outfield where the new ball field will be located. And the ball field that you previously saw that's mostly on D90 property, it's going to be flipped 90 degrees and go on to park property. And that would be with 60-foot baselines. And then the other item is, which is the one change. All that is pretty much existing there. The one change is we will be putting in a 20-by-20 picnic shelter with bathrooms, single men's, single women's, between the playground and the sand volleyball, and then a sitting plaza up in that area for parents and families to get together while kids are utilizing the facilities that we have. So I got a couple slides of what the playground looks like. Again, this was approved by the board in September 2023, and you previously, they say that the man may not see it. So let's just say you haven't seen it yet. I'm not sure when the last DRB meeting was. There's a lot of ramps on it because it's ADA accessible. This playground the footprint is slightly bigger than the current playground we have, but it's for the need to be able to put in all the rampage and all the space requirements for getting on and off the equipment per ADA requirements. So, but the use of the playground isn't too much different than what we have currently out there. This is a different view, shows some musical instruments, and then you can get a review of the main ramp entering onto the playground. There are swings on it. There's some other interactive items, some newer stuff that we're kind of excited to see that haven't been seen anywhere yet. So this is a shelter we're proposing to put in. This is a picture of a prototype, what we're looking for. The difference between what we're putting in and this one is there won't be a cupola, obviously. And the roof line on this shelter, the roof pitch is greater than ours. So this looks like a 7-12 pitch. Ours is going to be a 5-12 pitch. And the reason why is that we'll keep it under 15 feet in height or 16 feet in height. Which was one of the discussions we had. This is the drawings of the shelter that we're going to be putting in. So you can see the layout is pretty much the same. The bathroom doors will be on the north side of the building on the same side. We're doing that for safety reasons. There'll be a camera on that. The walls for the bathroom, the exterior walls will be a cut stone. And then the bathroom, or I'm sorry, the shelter itself, the structure will be metal instead of wood. So you can see this one, it's wood beams and wood posts. Ours is going to be metal. There'll still be a wood, tongue and groove wood as the roof line under the shelter. We're just, the metal is more vandal proof, easier to maintain. So that's why we made the selection of that. That middle door that you see on the bottom of the drawing, that's service entrance for storage and where utilities will be located. So as I said, the sand pit and the, or sorry, the sand volleyball and the ice rink are going to be lit as they are now. So here's the photometrics. It is an LED system, which is much more efficient than what we have out there right now. It's metal halide. You can see the this is the photometrics with the spill. So you can see it does all stay. It's been designed to all stay within the park property. So the control, the lights will be an internal system that'll be inside that utility room. It's not accessible to the public. So it'll be strictly controlled by the park district, the use of the lights. So we do, as I said, we do currently have a sharing agreement with D90 for use of both sides. We're going to continue that. As we're moving the ball field off of D90 property, we're going to relocate a larger soccer field, larger than what's showing in your site plan over there. So that will all just be grass space for all intents and purposes, except when we're lining it if that would be a 7x7 soccer field in that case. So you can see we do have some tree removal in this project. We've gone out. We've done some surveying of the property. We do have three fair quality locuses, one good quality maple, and one good quality maple that will be transplanted. We have a couple poor quality trees. We will be replacing all those on site. We'll be able to do all that on the site. We won't need to spread it out to other parks. So we're estimating 88 inches of diameter. There are some memorial trees out there. Those will all be relocated as close to the site where they're currently planted. So we're not going to move one from like the Ashland side over to Franklin side. We've had a couple of residents we've already talked to about that, and we have that in our construction documentation for whoever moves that they have to be aware where those trees are going. This is the landscape plan that's been drafted, and you can see the trees are predominantly oak, but plane tree, tulip tree, so elm, and firs. So all high quality trees we're planting right now. Trees are all 3-inch or 6 to 8 foot for the fir trees. So we did do a traffic study. Eric's Engineering Associates conducted the parking study. Obviously, you have that report. Their conclusion was the park will have no material impact on the traffic or parking conditions of the park. And that's it. So any questions? Or do you want to take public comment first? Or
I guess let's I'd go ahead and start with some questions from us, and then we can open it up.
So what's the purpose of moving where the playground is at currently and moving it to another section where you have to remove some trees, I think? What's the purpose of relocation?
So there was a couple. One, we wanted to centrally locate the sand volleyball with the playground and the sitting area and the bathroom all together as a hub. So they had to go one side or the other. The other thing was when we were going to move the ball field fit best in the corner that we've located it in right now. If we'd moved it to the Ashland side, we would have taken out significantly more trees. The corner of Ashland and the school, that has the majority, and those are all high-quality trees. We didn't want to touch those at all.
So
I was just looking at it too, and I was thinking that if you were hitting a line drive down the third baseline, you don't want to have a little kid get hit by a ball.
Yeah.
So it makes sense to me. I've been hanging out at this park.
I guess you have.
And yeah, so it makes more sense, unless somebody hits a really big homer all the way across the field, to do that. But I had a question about the accessibility, because reading through all these documents, you know, it talks about 100% accessibility. And it's like one of those things where they talk about where something is, you know, has no sugar, and has a little bit of sugar. So when it talks about, I was looking at the Erickson Engineering Associates plan, it talks about universal accessible playground.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you go back in the notes at the very end, the River Forest Park District meeting, it talks about 70 to 75%. The new plan is 75% accessible, which is over the 70% accessibility threshold that is directed by the board.
So that was a previous plan. That was not the plan you're looking at there.
Right.
The one you see up there is about as 100%. I can't say it's 100%, maybe 90, upper 90s. But we it was designed intentionally for wheelchair accessibility on every feature with it. So I'll give you an example. There's a freestanding feature. If a child was in, or an adult was in, a wheelchair and wished to get on it, there is an ADA process that they can get on. There's steps to it. They can't just roll the wheelchair onto a swing, you know, but it is set up that they can have the same access as anyone that wouldn't have be in a wheelchair.
So was that established by the park district who said we want 100%, or is that just the code that's requiring you?
No, the code is much less. This is far exceeds what we started with.
The code is 70%.
Correct. All right.
Over.
And again, like you said, it's like how much sugar is in it. ADA accessibility can be just put something where a child can grab onto something to lift themselves. They call that accessible. This design goes way beyond. And then I don't know if you want to say anything, because
I mean, it was the board's objective to make it as accessible as possible.
He needs to be sworn in.
Did you?
Okay.
Yeah.
His hand was up. We have a visual. Your hand was up, so you're good.
All right. So it was our objective as a board to get it as accessible as possible. One, as a parent who had children at Willard and has a child with a disability, I know the majority of students from Willard go to that playground because that's where the special education program is. So, I mean, the school district doesn't have accessible playgrounds, so we wanted to make it because we know that kids go to this playground after school. So we extended the ramps to make them wider, and we put more features in that anybody with a mobility device or mobility issues could access easily. So,
also, the surface underneath it, is it the same kind of rubbery compound that they have like the Washington Park?
Exactly. Yes. Different color. That's going to be the difference.
Oh, that's right. And then did you guys get the $600,000 grant?
No, we did not. So,
so
we already had in the budget with or without the grant. So we're moving with regardless.
As far as your scheduling goes, I know you got delayed a little bit, you know, with all this process, but what is your current schedule?
So our plan is still to break ground mid-June after D90. Gets out of school. We're working closely with them because they got stuff going on that they need to get done during the summer too. So we're going to be coordinating with them. They're doing some fencing work and that up there. I don't know if they're doing summer school at Willard. Are they? Okay. So, but they're doing work up there too. They're going to be doing some stuff up there on their own too. Right, and we're anticipating 8 weeks, but you know that means 10 probably.
So I was just curious why it's a substantial completion December 30th. Final completion May of next year. Is that absolutely everything?
Yeah. Right. We just built in cushion into it. So while it will be done, and we would consider it done, like the playground, a lot of people will say it's not done because the soccer fields will not be usable. Right.
Yeah, I mean, basically, like, when you get something done in your house and there's a checklist that needs to be checked off with the... So my point, like, basically, there will be certain things that, you know, like, oh, the X-ray hasn't been set up yet, right? So technically, it's not completed until that's set up, right? So.
Right. All the hard surface items we expect to be open in the fall.
Oh, sorry. I have a few questions. I'll try to be quick. I have a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old, and we use Constitution Park a lot right now. Shade. How does the shade look in the new location? I can kind of see the trees here, but at the current Constitution Park location, the equipment can get really hot in the summer because shade only falls on it a certain time of the day. It looks like I see more trees in the new location. Is that right?
We're going to be planting heavy where the old playground was. Of course, everything is 3-inch. So, you know, it's going to take a little time. But if you go back to the playground, you can see we have shade structures built over.
Shade structures. Perfect.
Right. Right.
Is this design settled, or can I give feedback on this design? My two points of feedback would be the sand pit is something my kids really love at Constitution Park. And I don't know if we could retain the sand pit where it is at Constitution and then, you know, just build this playground. So one point is the sand pit. And the climbing structure looks really similar to what we have at Willard already. So I don't know if you'd want to think about replacing that with something that's a little different than what we have at Willard. I mean, it's not a huge deal, but it's two very similar climbing structures kind of right beside each other. So I'm not sure if you're able to take notes or if you've already kind of settled on this design, but just two.
Yeah, like I said, we've done quite a few public meetings on this already. I know this is not what's at Willard right now as far as, I mean, so you can see that piece in the forefront there that looks like a little round tube green. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's brand new. That hasn't even been out on the market yet. So
right. Yeah. I just mean the climbing structure right behind it. And again, it's not a big deal, but I'm just pointing out that there's something really similar at the Willard playground too. But people, it is farther away from Willard. Different families will use it than the Willard families. So I just want to point it out, okay. But don't feel strongly. Swings. I saw some kind of baby or toddler swings, maybe
there are,
back
there.
There
are swings.
Will there be swings for older kids?
Yeah. Yes, there are swings. Are there swings in this one for older kids? No, I got to look. We went with the rocker in the front thing. Right, right. Mm. So there are tot swings. There's not older kid swings on this one.
Okay. So what will happen to the Constitution Park swings and playground and sand pit? You'll just remove all that?
That is already, somebody's taking it, and it'll be some other country, hopefully not tariffed too much, but it'll be repurposed and reinstalled somewhere else.
It's really more than used.
It is, yeah.
It's pretty sad.
Yeah.
Couple of questions, please. The dimensions of the fields, soccer and baseball, for example, are they changing, did you say?
So the baseball field, there is a 60-foot base path, and that's similar to what is out there now. The difference is this actually has – the outfield goes truly out to, I think, 200 for the outfield fence, where versus the field right now, it hits the school at like 160, you know, on the third base side. So the soccer field will actually – the one that's not showing there in the plan, the one that will be on D90 property, will be slightly bigger than the soccer field that we have right now out there. And that one will be slightly small. That'll be a microfield that we'll be using.
D90 field is going to change. This field is going to be a smaller field than current, right?
Well, the field that's out there is moving to D90 property because we're flip-flopping the ball field and the soccer field. That's the same size is what's out there right now. The field you see there is bonus field. That's an extra field we're going to get out of this. Actually, we put microfields outside the ball field before. We haven't done it lately. So we're not losing, the net is we're not losing any field. We're not losing any size on either of them.
While the construction is happening, do we have an alternative for the baseball players or soccer players where they're going to play while the fields are not used?
So baseball's already aware of this, so it's already been built into the spring schedule. Most of the use there is more Trinity, and so they're already done for the season at that point come mid-June. The soccer field, so it rotates out, like I said, so they're just, it won't be in the rotation this spring. Our hope would be put it back in, I'm sorry, this fall, the hope would be it would be back in the next spring.
And the shelter, the storage space internally now, you said it's still going to be storage space?
It's a storage room. There'll be very little for programming-wise, because inside that storage room is going to be the utilities, the panel, the meter, the water, the meter. There's going to be some type of slop sink in there for cleaning. It'll be similar to what we have over at Washington right now with the bathroom and the storage there.
What are the hours or I would say dates of the accessibility to those bathrooms?
So all our bathrooms are seasonal. So they're April 1st to November 1st, roughly.
Right.
They always open at 7 a.m. And then depending on the park and the use. So that would follow probably what we do with Washington and Priory, which would, you know, it goes with sunset. So right now they're open till 6:30. Then they start moving out every month another half hour. Just so Keystone is always closes at 9 just because it's under lights and stuff. Okay.
What about the lights on the volleyball court? What are the hours that those lights will be on?
So the lights are primarily used for the ice rink, which is how they're used right now. So they typically right now, when we open the rink, and with weather it is these days, that's not as much as it used to be. So open days, they turn on at 4 in the afternoon, they turn off at 9 at night. If we're using the sand volleyball, we would use it in dusk hour. We'd just be using it maybe an hour, just during the dusk hours for games that are going late.
So the lights are going to be programmed and they're going to be turned off at 9 o'clock automatically?
So they would be for ice rink, they're programmed, they're on and off as long as we activate them for that day. And then for sand volleyball, it'd be a site supervisor that would be on site to activate and turn them on and off.
And where are the two light poles going to be in relation to the volleyball court?
So they would be on the north and south side. If you look at the map.
I see it now. Those.
They are, so between the two sand volleyball courts, on the south side and on the north side, right at the edge.
And have you given any thought to the, I mean, I think it's great that you put shelter and the restrooms there, but if one of the purposes of the shelter is so that parents can watch their kids in the play area, I think it's going to be pretty tough because I don't see how they're going to be able to watch the kids when the shelter runs north and south. I guess it's kind of the same question Mrs. Davis had about the,
well, the playground will have numerous benches around it. I mean, typically parents will sit around the playground. If they're using the shelter, it may be for picnicking and that type of stuff.
It kind of makes sense, though, to put the bathrooms at the south end of the shelter.
Well, we wanted the bathrooms at the north end because then they're in view of the parents on the playground when they use it.
No, I'm thinking that if they're at the south end, then the rest of that structure that you show would be covered and you could watch your kids play from under the shelter. See what I'm saying?
That's one way of looking at it. We looked at it as the bathrooms will be used more by kids running in and out of the bathrooms than anyone sitting under the shelter when the playground's in use. And we want those doors to be visible from the playground.
All right, could you talk or have the treasurer talk again about how this is going to be paid for? Does the Park District have the money in hand to pay for the entire project?
Park District has already capital funds dedicated and budgeted for this project.
You have the money on hand.
We have money on hand. So we have, we'll be back here in another month or so. We also have Priory coming up and some other projects in the works too. So all have already been budgeted and there's money allocated for them.
Well, I guess if you work with enough government bodies, you understand that something's budgeted and allocated. That doesn't mean you have
the money's in the bank already.
Tell us the money's in the bank. That gives me more confidence. Yep.
And are there no lights around the baseball field then?
There's no lights on the ball field, no.
And you know, at this point, you don't have any?
That's a whole nother, that would be a whole nother discussion. And we don't see the need for it. We have Keystone, right. And what we have is adequate.
So with the shelter, the is it 8-inch by 16-inch CMU split face, that just confirming that does not match the signage that exists there now that you're keeping on you have signage on the northwest corner and the northeast corner. Here we go.
Can you say that again?
So the signage that you have on
those monuments, they will remain.
Yes, but yeah. The material used here, this is not what you're proposing for the shelter, correct? It's a different material.
No, it would be a cut stone. It'd look a lot like Priory Center up at Priory, the building at Priory.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Concrete block.
Yeah.
Masonry units. Yeah. Okay. And then the canopies that you show on the playground, are those permanent? The canopies?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. And is it a fabric? Is it?
It is a fabric.
Plastic.
It's a fabric. So they would come down probably in mid November during the winter months, and then we'd put them back up.
Okay.
Right.
And then the outfield, is there a fence structure that's going to be temporary that's installed just for?
So there's right now, that would be, we're not putting up like a 4-foot temporary fence. If baseball or before you baseball saw a need to it, we'd certainly have that discussion if they want to put up one similar to what they do over here in Keystone.
Okay. So that's not part of this
no.
project.
No. And we're not planning on that right now.
Okay.
This would be similar to how, you know, Priory, we don't fence those. We don't fence Washington. So we're not seeing that as something that's going to happen right now.
Are there any other questions for now? I was going to open it up to the public to get their thoughts.
I just had one more suggestion. I'm still thinking if I was a parent watching my kids play, I would like to have the doors to the bathroom on the inside, on the south side, because that way you could stand there and wait for your child to go in or out. Instead of, why would you have it on the back side?
Well, again, because our observations, both playgrounds, while we have the shelter there, the vast majority of the parents and the kids will be on the playground. So the shelter, we're just the people, some people will sit under it. The vast majority will not. They're going to want to, we've designed benching around. We've designed a plaza piece where we want to sit out, be part of it with their kids.
You've got benches on here. I see one.
Yep. There's benches in the plaza, and then there's benches around the perimeter of the playground.
Those are the bump outs?
Yeah, they'd be bump outs. You can look at them kind of, they look like bump outs there.
Okay. So is it okay if I go and open it up to the public and get, do we have anyone that, from the public, was it there anyone through Zoom or no? It's just
Luke, is there anyone on Zoom?
Okay.
Be on Zoom? Okay.
There's no public comment.
No public comment?
No, I'm good. I just wanted to hear.
Sure.
You wanted to hear me again, right?
Yeah, I saw you doing it.
I have just one more comment. I'm sure you guys are aware, but I just wanted to make sure. Willard is going to construct fencing more as a visual barrier on the south, like the south border, just to kind of keep strangers from crossing over to Willard property. And I'm sure you guys are aware of that, but just
we're aware of that. We're working with D90 on, and that's what I was alluding to. We're coordinating the project, especially the demo of the ball field and that, to make sure they can get moving quicker on their end.
Terrific. Thank you.
Okay. So it's ready for August.
Do we have
paying for any of this?
No, no, no. This is park district property. Yeah.
Okay. I guess then. I guess a few more things that I just want to kind of talk about and address. That I met when I asked you about the CMU, the block for the shelter. My concern is that the shelter is very utilitarian, and it feels like you probably had a pretty tight budget, and for it to have such a prominent place in a park, and where the playground looks to be very well designed, it's colorful, it's thought through. The shelter is just, it's a shelter. And I feel like when we start designing structures in the park district that are so visible that we need to up our game and design something that is attractive, and maybe you're using the stone that is, you know, being more consistent with the stone that we're using in other places in the park. To me, that the shelter is, it's very forest preserved where it's kind of hidden and we, you know, you don't really want to see it, but this is it's just prominent. So I guess I'm just disappointed that it's not elevated to.
We could talk to the architect and see if there's ways that we can match that stone more, limestone that we have.
I do want to, Ms. McCole, Member McCole, I do like the idea of flipping that pavilion. I know with my kids, I mean, you can tell I don't spend a lot of time in the sun, and I'm going to seek shelter to watch my kids, and I'm going to be under there watching them on the playground. Well, they're actually outgrowing playgrounds now, but back in the day, that's where I would want to be able to sit to have that visual to the playground. So that's
you don't really need to sit and watch the volleyball.
Yeah.
Right.
You don't need to sit way in the outfield to watch a baseball game. It really does make sense to just to do it, flip it.
Yeah.
So those are my two concerns, I guess, architecturally, what I would consider changing or addressing. Are there any other questions or thoughts? If not, this is the time that we would kind of close the public portion where we would then kind of deliberate and decide if we are going to vote correct on whether to. You can tell me the process.
Sure, if I could address.
Yep.
That. Commission just wanted to touch from kind of. From the village perspective on some of the zoning compliance and everything with the project. So the park district approached the village some time ago about this project. The reason that it's kind of triggered this plan development process is primarily because of the addition of a structure that kind of is one of the things that automatically requires public plan development review process, in addition to the size of the project. In the packet, I included a memo that kind of, there's two memos. One memo is specific to the kind of village operations side. The village staff and various departments met with Director Sletten to kind of discuss a lot of the things that we've discussed here about operations. So I just wanted to run through those comments from the various departments. Primarily, the police department's comments were primarily about kind of making sure that the operation and closing the park down and then the bathrooms was covered that Director Sletten mentioned, and also that a camera would be included on site to help secure the property. You know, I don't want to fully speak for the police department in terms of the questions here, but I do know that having a vision from the street from the police department of the bathroom doors would probably be their preference, just based on those being kind of magnets for vandalism or activity. I think that would be their preference, but the security cameras we hope will address those issues as well. And then other comments, our public works department has reviewed the plans, and the drainage issues will be if there are drainage issues will be kind of hashed out during the permitting process, but as the plans are right now, there are no major concerns. Really, it was just a reiteration of coordinating the construction schedule and making sure that the trees were replaced, which the park district has committed to doing in accordance with our requirements. And then one other minor comment from our fire department was that consideration be given to installing a defibrillator on site in the event that an emergency happens at the park. The second memo is more specific to the zoning code and the plan's compliance with the zoning code. Generally, this is a improvement to a public space that's very much in line with the comprehensive plan. This is primarily a rearrangement of the uses on the site. There's, as you know, stated by the applicant, there's no increase in intensity of those uses between the swapping of the fields. This is a new playground that has a larger footprint, but given its accessibility, there's kind of different capacity of the park. But overall, we don't, based on the plans and the applicant's plans for operations, see there being any adverse impact on the neighborhood. Now, as planned, there are a few site development allowances that will be required for the site just by nature of its design. The property is zoned as a PRI, public recreational and institutional use, and for properties that are zoned PRI, there is a setback requirement of 50 feet from the property line for anything on a corner. This is, you know, has streets fronting three sides of it, and from the corner, there's a requirement that there are a 50 feet setback. On each of those sides, there are uses or structures that are within that 50 feet. All are on the west side. On the Franklin side, it would be the dugout fencing for the ball field. On the north side, it would be the bench that one of the benches, the furthest north bench that services that playground, and then another bench on the east side of the property that is close to Ashland. Those are within that 50 feet setback, so we'll need a site development allowance. You know, those are not, you know, viewed as nuisances. Those are clearly accessory to the primary uses at the park. And then on the south side, the setback requirement is only 25 feet because it's borders another PRI property in Willard, and that will require a smaller allowance to allow for the dugout fencing there on the first base side. And then the last item is the site as it stands now. There's no on-site parking provided for the property, as we know. I think that's the case for most park properties in town, to allow for more green space. So as proposed, we do not view, and the applicant has stated that there's no increase in intensity of use of the park, and therefore no increase in the expected parking for the space. But having said that, there is a deficit at that property currently of 49 parking spaces, which sounds significant, but that is the current, because the use is so similar to what it is now, there has been no observed concerns from neighbors or the village on parking on that property. The benefit of this property being, you know, fronting streets on three sides allows for a lot of adjacent on street parking. And there also is a parking lot on the school property that is likely used by visitors. So we don't view it as an unreasonable request.
Quick question with the security camera and rule signage that the police department are recommending, has that been addressed by the applicant? Is that going to be part of it, or where does that stand?
I guess I'll let.
So we're looking at security cameras right now. We'll be putting a camera.
Sorry, we can stand.
Thank you.
So yeah, we're looking at security cameras out there. We're testing some vendors. We're talking to the village on what they're using. We just need a little time and we'll make a decision on that. But like I said, the bathroom, the playground will be under security camera.
Okay. And then the defibrillator, is there
it's something we'll look into? We'll have one right now, but it would be inside the storage area for programming. We typically do not put them out in the park.
Okay.
You have security cameras at Keystone?
We have security cameras on the buildings at Keystone. Right. So all our buildings have cameras on.
So how will someone get to the defibrillator? Is it locked up in that room?
The defibrillator, we typically will use the defibrillators for our program use only.
So, I mean, if something happened, how would someone get access?
It would not be accessible to the public.
So then who would it be used for?
If we have programs out there, our staff would be accessible for our staff.
Oh, okay. So
just like we have it, same we have it at Keystone, we have one at Priory for the same uses like that at the depot, there are at all those sites.
Well, what on a typical day, what hours will a staff member be at the park?
Only when we're doing programming. So if we're running,
so like on Saturday, there probably be no staff.
It just depends. If it's volleyball, it could be Sunday afternoons. I mean, if it's a weekday, most likely nobody's going to be out there because we're just scheduling during school hours. So.
Any other questions? Are you good? Anything else for the village administrator? This report?
I want to bring up one thing that you said that I thought was good was the police need to be able to see the bathroom doors. And there's a straight shot if you're on Ashland looking west. If you, you know, like I said, flip the bathroom location, they could see it really easily versus having to look through all the playground equipment on the other side. So would you be amenable to flipping it? And
our plans are set with this. Like I said, we've had a lot of meetings on this. We've had a lot of discussion. We've talked to a lot of people, our architects, talked to the police on it. So we're comfortable with the design we have.
Yeah, I like
right.
Most of it.
We believe it's best to have the bathrooms visible from the playground. Same as the Washington, the parents like that. We get a lot of feedback that they could see the bathroom. The complaint of priorities, they can't see the girl's side of the bathroom. So parents are there. They can only see the boy's side.
Yeah, at Washington, it's
have the same problem with the boys at Keystone when people are using it because they can't see the boy's side from the men's bathroom.
Right. So it's good they're both on the same side, right? The entrance for both bathrooms is on the same side of the building.
Right, but under that scenario, they wouldn't be visible from the playground.
They would be if the doors were on the inside under the shelter.
Even the police will tell you they've already had discussions on that.
That's not
good. It was not one of the things they wanted.
All right.
Did you receive feedback from residents who live across from the new proposed playground? I doubt anyone would care, but it will bring more kind of kids and, you know, visual stimulus right in their homes.
We've had now four public meetings for the residents. And one of them nobody even showed up to, so.
Okay, so if we don't have any more questions, let's go ahead and move on to the close of the public part of our meeting, and so we can deliberate. I guess thoughts? Anyone? Any amendments that we want to make, or do you just want to vote on it? Where do we stand? What do you think?
Overall, I like it because they're flipping the ball field, and so there's more space to have a bigger soccer field. You can't see it on this picture, but if you can imagine Willard School, and you've got more room. I mean, it makes a lot of sense. I like the pervious play area, the cushioning underneath. Right now it's cement and it's all worn out. So overall it looks good. I'm just curious how many people play sand volleyball.
I wondered that too. Versus pickleball or a different use of that. I mean, pickleball's loud, but just curious. I think I do see people up there in the summer. I think there's maybe they're organized teams or
there is a league.
I've seen people. League, so,
but usually you look out and you don't see anybody on there. And then the ice skating rink is typically surrounded in fence.
So, yeah, we do have a league. There is two seasons of it. So there's a spring and a fall league. Teams can be, we've had as little as four, as many as six. Our goal is always to get eight. So that just gives you an idea. So the leagues will run typically Sunday afternoon. They're done in 2.5-3 hours tops. And then the ice rink, I mean, you've seen it out there. More people are using it when the fence is up and it's closed than they're actually when it's open. So,
yeah, what's the reason for the fence?
The fence is to keep people off of it while we're trying to make the ice, because obviously it's a liner. It's, you know, that's a light piece. And that's what we run into every year. People will get on it when it's not ready. And skates and plastic don't mix well.
Yeah. It's just when you go back to the volleyball, and if the climate stays the way it is, that is a lot of space for a sport that not very many people are playing. Unless you can use your idea about using it to dig the sand up for the little kids.
Oh, yeah.
So that sand volleyball is the same. It's the same size as the one out there right now.
What?
The sand volleyball on the plan is the same size as.
Oh, right. Yeah, and I'm just saying, if it's not used, why include it? Except for.
Well, we do have people that use sand volleyball.
Sunday
we,
afternoons.
Right. We have organized, but other people do use it.
All right, so I think if we're going to make a motion to recommend this, that the motion ought to specifically say that we agree to all the site development allowances that have been explained by Mr. Walsh. And I think that any motion ought to also recognize these recommendations from the different village bodies, and that specifically, I think it ought to, our approval ought to be conditioned on the installation of security cameras and rule signage. I think the motion ought to be conditioned on the installation of a defibrillator that's accessible at all times on the park property, not just when there happens to be an employee there who hopefully knows how to use it. But I think those are important things that I would be comfortable as conditions to our approval.
Yeah. About the defibrillator, how much does it cost? Because my concern is, I just did this Girl Scout training of how to use it. It is a powerful electric shock. And if it is accessible, like children could get into it and whatnot. And we do have the fortunate circumstance that we live in a small village where you call an ambulance, they'll be there in 1 minute. So I'm not really concerned about having an accessible defibrillator, but just asking, like, how much does it cost? Do other parts have it accessible? That type of information. Because it obviously can be life-saving if you need it.
Yeah.
But I would worry about someone breaking it, or, you know, having mischief, or a kid getting into it.
So I don't remember what the last one, it's with the cabinet. Well, just a defibrillator, because the cabinet is a whole different beast when you put it out in public. The defibrillator, I believe, is like $700-$800. Is that? Yeah, it's up there. The cabinet can be a couple $1,000s. So
what's the cabinet? Does that
house cabinet, so we can't just put a defibrillator in a cabinet, because and then 2 hours later I won't have a defibrillator. They walk.
Yeah.
That's always been our concern. We now have to get a cabinet that has Wi-Fi that's hooked to the police and fire. So every time it's opened, it's warned, and they have to react to it at that point. So it's a whole process. This isn't we just stick it out there and everybody's fine. And if we need it, we need it. There's Oak Park does do it, but they have the problems with it. And
so how does the cabinet work? Only an adult could access.
If anyone opens, as soon as they open the door, the alarm triggers, it goes to 911, and there's got to be a call because they assume somebody's out there. And it could be some kid walking up, looking in it. And that does happen. So like I said, it's not as simple as just we put it out there and it'll take care. We've looked at defibrillators in parks before. We did the research. We talked to the fire department. River Forest is a small town. Fire department can get to any site on a 911. It was in minutes, the situation. That's what we were talking at Keystone. We found that fire department probably get faster over to the site with a 911 call than somebody running to the defibrillator, finding it, getting it, turning it on, figuring out how to run it, and then actually using it. So, like I said, that's why we put it inside the buildings. It's available for youth sports groups. If they want to have a key, we give them the key for access to those spaces. But for the general public, we typically don't.
So I'd say I don't feel strongly about that. If anyone wants to condition our vote on that, I'm fine. But I just also wanted to point out the drawbacks of kids getting into it.
Any other conditions that we want to consider?
Oh, that they has to comply with the landscape ordinance.
Yes, that's a condition of the building permit. So the landscaping will be considered as well. And we talked a lot about the tree placement, but there are other landscaping conditions that are in place in the plan development process, as well as like with the building code and drainage and all of that.
They do have a condition for that if it's already an ordinance that they have to follow.
It's up to you if you'd like to, but it would be something they would be subject to anyway.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anything else? What is everyone's thought on the pavilion? Where those bathrooms should be?
Well, I liked your idea too about making it look better.
Yeah, that's
like you were saying, take off the cupola, maybe put on the cupola.
Yeah,
you know, we have a nice cupola in the District 90 administration building. Make it better looking. I mean, I feel sorry for all the people who use Willard Park because they've had a porta potty all this time.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, so what? I mean, I brought up the bathroom ideas, and he's saying that the police say don't have it under the shelter, so that it would have to be on the north side. I mean, well, the entrance to it would have to be on the outside of the structure.
Can we say something as general as reconsider the orientation of the pavilion so that the trustees could see that and then kind of continue the conversation?
That's a good way to put it.
Can it be flipped on its side? Are these circles here trees? Oh, those are okay. You can't flip it. Sorry.
Yeah, if you could flip up the picture.
Oh, I got it. Thanks.
You had the right one the first time. Diagram.
I will say, and I'll defer to council on
that one.
The role of the development review board here, that you know, the applicant has submitted the design. There has been some input. And it's another public entity that's made a decision as a public board on those designs. So I think that there's some consideration that should be given to that in terms of the design work that's already been done and our impact or our influence over changing the designs that have been submitted.
Yes, I can comment that the village's zoning authority is generally less over other units of government, over other public bodies than it is over, for instance, like a resident or a commercial citizen of the village. So in terms of second look at design or whatever, it wouldn't really be proper to condition approval on aesthetic elements that would otherwise just be permissible under the zoning code. You could recommend that it be looked at or recommend that it be that something else be considered. But obviously the Board of Trustees could then take that into account. But to condition approval on an element like that is not really within the purview of what the DRB is looking at.
Okay. So it's just to summarize.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
To ask them to reconsider materials or reconsider the orientation of the structure that would be more in line with, as opposed to saying, conditioning, saying that they have to replace the CMU block with different material.
Correct. You'd recommend a reconsideration or an analysis of something else, of alternatives, rather than conditioning approval on changing those items.
And I guess that's partly why I would recommend saying reconsider as opposed to a condition where we know there are financial implications with that. I know that stone that you have on those, the signage is going to be more expensive than the CMU. And so that, we don't have that kind of, the impact on a budget, and I do question our ability or reasoning to force a condition.
So you're telling us that with a DR, when it's before the DRB, we can't consider architectural or architectural changes and make suggestions. I think that when Mr. Crosby was sitting over here and we had questions about the window framing and what the windows look like, and we made recommendations that there be change, and you're telling us that those recommendations are wrong?
No, I'm not saying that they're wrong. I'm saying that in general, when you're looking at aesthetic aspects, and I mean, so there's somewhat of a difference between architectural features and aesthetic features. But in terms of design, there's generally a level of deference to other public bodies that there aren't to commercial or private development in the zoning law. So because this is a park district and it's another unit of local government, the otherwise permitted features of the development, the recommendation that it be that approval be conditioned on an aesthetic change that would otherwise be permissible, may be seen as a little far reaching.
So it's really that line between the public body park district versus a developer.
That's one of the factors. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I hear you. We're in the past where we've had a developer that came before us and we've made conditions on materials and then that is more, it's appropriate, we could say.
Yes, there's a body of case law that applies to, for instance, schools, park districts, other public bodies that talks about a village's ability to exercise zoning authority over those public bodies and gives them more deference than a village would have over a private developer.
So I think the way you're phrasing it when you're saying to, reconsider is appropriate, right? Versus conditioning it.
Right. Yeah. That's my interpretation as well. Anyone else have thoughts? Okay. So it looks like we have, then we're talking about conditions related to the cameras and rural signage, the defibrillator, again, both of which are recommendations from the police department and fire department, which would be conditions. And then we would then have separate from that would be reconsider the orientation of the pavilion and reconsider the materials on the pavilion. Mm-hmm. So that's what we would need a motion, correct? To help me out with the process. We would need a motion to include those conditions. And then, and is it best to do those separate or together, each of these?
I would say if everyone is comfortable with that, you can just say, I'm seeking that motion. Someone can say so moved, and we can move on and have a discussion and vote from there.
So, does someone want a motion? Do I need to do that?
No, you can.
You can't.
I can't.
You can seek.
All right. Seeking a motion.
Members.
To have a condition to include a security cameras, rule signage, AED, a defibrillator.
All right, so I move that we recommend to the Board of Trustees that we grant that we recommend approval of the application, that we recommend including approval of all the site development allowances that are requested, mm-hmm. and those three or four conditions that you have written there.
And then are we looking to reconsider the mm-hmm. materials on the pavilion as well as the orientation of the place? Yes. Mm-hmm. That included in your motion?
Sure. Sure.
Okay. We'll bundle it all.
Right.
We need a second.
Second.
Okay.
Call.
Yes. Member Fishman?
Yes.
Don't you typically have discussion?
Oh, yeah. You said discussion.
Oh, yes.
Now, these conditions,
if there is any,
ask for.
Is there any discussion?
The only thing I say, my question is on the defibrillator, we should have a reconsideration as opposed to a condition. And I'll leave it to you all to know a little more about it. I thought I'd be more comfortable with changing it to the reconsider portion of the motion as opposed to a condition for approval for the external.
Right.
That's my only thoughts on everything else with that motion. That was fine.
I'm assuming they have not considered it. So as I'm asking them to reconsider it, they have not considered it.
So you've been, isn't there one included right now?
Let me clarify just that what I heard from the motion, just so that we know what's on the table. And obviously, Mr. Martin, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that the police and fire recommendations, so the signage, the security cameras, and the defibrillator, right now in the motion are conditions of approval. So mm-hmm. they would need to do all those three things mm-hmm. In order to have your recommendation for approval. The reconsideration is to the design elements of the orientation of the pavilion and the materials for the pavilion. Mm-hmm. So that is what I hear now that's on the table. And obviously that could be amended by further action and or voted up or down.
So I have a question. So is the fire department, the police department saying that it's okay to have a defibrillator locked in a room? You know, I mean, do they realize that that's where that defibrillator is going to be?
So in the summary, so the fire department requests consideration that an AED be installed on the property, mm-hmm. just general on the property.
Yeah. But that's great. But to me, that it doesn't have the access that most places would have, you know. So, and I just went through my basic CPR class, and the defibrillator is saving lives all the time. And I just worry about something happening, somebody's grandmother, you know, I don't know, falling or whatever. And there's not something going on, and it's a public space, and, you know, people don't have, you know, access to it. I don't know. I think it's, and I, you know, and it sounds like it's, you know, there's some issues with it. Maybe we wouldn't have the same issues as Oak Park has that was alluded to, but
I struggle with the location on whether it should be under lock and key or not. And frankly, I just don't feel like I have enough information to make that decision. Or I feel like I'm comfortable leaving it vague that it's just there's one there so that it could be explored further
right
down the line.
Yeah.
You know,
one person can, you know, give CPR for probably a maximum of 3 minutes. You know, that's super tiring. It takes a lot out of anybody, even someone in, you know, good shape. So if you're doing that and then waiting for somebody to get a defibrillator, you know, it's an issue.
So the condition is just that there'd be one on the property. I guess I'm asking for mm-hmm. clarification. That
my condition was there'd be one external defibrillator.
Mm-hmm. External? It was it? Okay.
And if you have a security camera, you can see if a kid is goofing around with it. Also, there should be a warning, you know, you open this door and alarms go off and the police come. hopefully to deter any.
But they're in the schools. I mean,
well, we have them in our school.
Right. I mean, absolutely. The kids see those.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like.
Does anyone know if a child could really injure them, like a teenager who got into it and attached it? Is it just a shock?
It is a shock. Yeah, it definitely could be dangerous.
Yeah.
No question about it.
Wouldn't kill or seriously harm?
Oh, they can get arrhythmia from it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with the comment. I don't feel like it's life-saving, but I just don't feel like I know enough or have enough information.
Yeah.
Well, I think you have to remember that all we're doing here is we're making a recommendation to the Board of Trustees.
Yep.
And they're the ones that are going to have the final decision whether even to require a defibrillator or to have it internal or external. You know, we're not making the final decision.
Okay, so are we ready to vote?
All right. So I still want to know how you're phrasing it, though. So it's
motion,
external.
Motion over there.
Right?
External.
So
it's external.
It was external.
It's external.
Accessible at all times is how I had it noted.
Accessible at all times.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Accessible at all times.
I'm
going to
vote on it.
Okay. All right. Let's.
So the motion's got. Are these recommendations? We're going to vote on them separately, or are they tag on to the motion?
I think we've put them all together.
Okay.
Yes.
That's fine.
Yes. Both the motion, the conditions, as well as the reconsideration.
And the site development.
Yeah.
Yes.
That is all in there. That is included. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, so let's call roll.
Okay, first.
Member Fishman?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Member McColl?
Yes.
Member Shoemaker?
Yes.
Member Yanaki? Chairman Crosby?
Yes.
And Member Davis?
Yes.
Member, motion pass?
Motion pass. Okay,
thank you.
Okay. You want to call for any additional public comment that's not related to the public hearing?
Any?
I think we're good.
All right, so any public comment that's not related to the hearing?
Hearing none. Then a motion to adjourn.
And a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right, thanks.